Hi, everyone, and welcome to Intuitive Awakening. My name is Dina. Thank you so much for joining me for this week's episode. Our guest today is Buddhist author Von Galt. Von's perspective on the awakening and ascension of Earth into the fifth dimension comes from her 40 years as a Tibetan Buddhist. Her unique tribal Laos Hmong heritage, which goes back into Lemurian folklore, also weaves oral history into Buddhist folklore about our ancient times and our transition further into the intergalactic golden age of humanity. Aside from writing Buddhism books, Von is an IT professional, working mom of two young children, and is an active practitioner of the Dolores Cannon method of the quantum healing hypnosis technique, which is also known as QHHT. So in her QHHT hypnosis practice, she gets clients who seek her out to demystify their starseed origins, explain their personal parallel reality experiences, and gain multidimensional insights as well. Welcome to the show, Von.
Thank you for having me, Deanna. I'm so excited to get this information to your audience. We never know who we're going to reach, so.
I understand completely.
It might be one person that hears the message and it changes their whole life, and it is a ripple effect. So
that's very true. And I do feel like we have a lot to unpack today, for sure.
Yes, definitely.
So I wanted to begin by talking to you about this spiritual evolution that's happening on the planet. According to many spiritual teachers, metaphysical practitioners, etc., we're in the midst of some sort of spiritual evolution, or what's been called like a planetary shift from the third dimension into the fifth dimension. And, you know, when I say this, a lot of people kind of roll their eyes, and it's because they want the proof. And some people say, well, if you want the proof, here's the proof. Look at the Schumann resonance. And I was wondering if you could please talk to us about what the Schumann resonance is, why it's important, and how the Earth's Schumann resonance affects humanity's spiritual evolution.
Yes, of course. And the proof, all the scientific proof, is in my book, Buddhist Mandalas, Explore Parallel Realities with Sacred Geometry. Which I just recently published and is out right now. It goes over 20 years of scientific research. So how I kind of got into this information, like you said, I was born and raised in the Buddhist tradition, okay? And ascension and awakening and the fifth dimension are foundational principles in Buddhism. And Buddhism is not a new age concept. Buddhism is a spiritual tradition that is almost 2,600 years old and is actually an offshoot of Hinduism from the first Buddha, which is Siddhartha Gautama. He was an Aryan prince from an Indian family, and he split off and founded the Four Noble Truths and Eightfold Paths, which is a technique that you can use to address your abundance blocks and the unbalanced perspectives you have on issues that you're working on in your life about your wheel of Dharma, so that you can release those block energies and raise your frequency up. And by raising your frequency up, you change your inner self, and you manifest and shift into a parallel reality that is more in line with the frequency that you emit. So let me break, and this will kind of go into answering kind of where and how did we get here? How are we making this transition further into the fifth dimension? So in Buddhism, ascension is not a new age word. Ascension is a foundational principle in Buddhism. And basically, in order to get to ascension, you have to have your awakening. And many Buddhists try to have their awakening. And awakening simply is someone who realizes that they exist in a holographic reality that is responding to the commands of its user. So Buddha is a term in Buddhism that comes from Sanskrit, which means Bud. And what that means is to be awake within reality, okay, to be awake within the matrix. And so when somebody has their awakening, they start having their awakening symptoms, and they start seeing that physical reality is malleable, and it changes based on their perception of things. So as they work on their awakening, they will level up their personal energy. They will do what you call their ascension, which is not a one-time thing. It is a process in which you raise your energetic frequency up the different levels of consciousness all the way to Buddhahood, which is what we would call nirvana. It's been called the void. It's been called zero point. It's been called, you know, infinity, whatever you want to call it. But in the physical, while we're physical beings, or while we're souls having a physical human incarnation here on Earth, you have the option to raise your energy. And by raising your energetic frequency, by living the best version of you, as a result, you positively affect not only yourself, but you affect those around you because of your energy that you emit. And the inner bliss manifests a parallel reality that matches you. So this energetic frequency that everybody has is what you would call your Merkaba. Okay? And Merkaba or Merkaba in Judaism is basically sacred geometry. And what it is you. Every single person, every single sentient being has an energy field. Your aura is what people call it. It can be your Buddhist mandala. It could be your Sri Yanta. It doesn't matter what you call it, but it's your energetic field. And they found this in science. You can actually go and see what your Merkaba looks like right now. You can go to soundmadevisible.com, and it's a semantics company that specializes in making sound visible. And what they found in their research, and I was following this research for a very long time, is that every single person's voice has an energetic DNA that is unique to them. It is their Merkaba, okay? So as you work on your ascension and your awakening, your Merkaba gets perfected. And as it gets perfected, it tunes into the higher dimensions, like the fifth dimension. Now, here's where the science comes in with what's happening with Earth.
I'm going to interrupt you for just a second because I have some questions before you move on to that, based off of what you just said, because I feel like what you said is very, very new to me to a certain extent. And I also feel like it's very new to some of the listeners. And I wanted to ask you first, how does someone know that they're going through awakening, and what could be, I don't know, the impetus or the cause of this awakening from your perspective?
Well, you know, there's a lot of different perspectives about awakenings from different traditions, and there's a lot of different ways to get to your awakening. I speak from my tradition of Buddhism because that's what I know the best. And how you know you're having an awakening is, you know, how do you know your reality is shifting? So I'll tell you from Schumann resonance, okay? So I answer two questions in one. So what's going on is, you know, between 2010 to 2012, a lot of indigenous tribes all across the world, such as the chiefs of the Easter Islands, the chiefs of the Mayans, Native American chiefs, and many Buddhists as well. And what they did was they did their awakening ceremony. And when they did their awakening ceremonies, they closed out a very long cycle of polarity. They closed out the energy. And they welcomed in a new energy, which is unity consciousness. It's a fifth dimensional energy of oneness, of not seeing separatism, but seeing unity and seeing oneness in everything. Having more of a fluid experience with the universal one mind that resides in everyone. And what happened was, there's an institute called the Global Consciousness Project, and it was funded and run by the Institute of Noetic Sciences, which was started by astronaut Dr. Edgar Mitchell, the HeartMath Institute, and of course Princeton University. And they put these 70 random number generators all across the world to measure if the Earth is alive. and just see what these indigenous tribes, you know, their longtime belief of transitioning from the third dimension to the fifth dimension with Earth, if, you know, what is the truth behind this? And it works like a seismology. So when the Earth has a spike in her energy, it will pick that up, okay? And for a very long time, nothing really ever happened. She was always the same frequency, which was 7.83 hertz, okay? Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, in 9/11, it spiked to about 10 or 14 hertz. And that was new for them because it never did anything. Earth never did anything for a very long time. And they predicted through that random number generator that 9/11 was going to happen 4 hours beforehand. And it since 1999, it continues to spike with other natural disasters, Hurricane Katrina, other major things that happen all across the world around these random number generators. And it also picked up and showed us that the Earth responds to the mass consciousness of people in certain areas when they feel a big wave of emotion about something that's happening in their reality. So it picks up that heart energy, because your heart and the Heart Math Institute showed us this as well, that it's 5,000 times stronger than your brain. So when all these people in a certain area feel this unified anxiety about some kind of event going on, or unified happiness about some kind of event going on, the Earth responds to that as well, and they've picked up those spikes. Well, here's where it answers your question about how do you know you're having your awakening. When the Earth has her spikes up these higher frequencies, for a very long time, when she did her spikes, it was just maybe 10 hertz, maybe 12 hertz, maybe 30 hertz, and they were just having a wonderful time, all the scientists. But then as we got further into 2012 and further into 2020, she's not doing these small little jumps anymore. Now she's doing big leaps. She's going 20, 30, 60, 120. She's taking these huge leaps that have never been recorded before since the project. And what's going on is that she's raising her energy. And so you can understand this through this analogy, okay? Mm-hmm. When you go and you go buy a TV, and you go buy a cheaper TV that has lower resolution, it may be 24 hertz per second. So 24 frames per second. So it's a slower moving TV. The picture quality isn't as crisp. And you can see the changes between frame per frame. However, when you change to a higher quality TV, the picture quality is going to be higher and refresh faster because it's anywhere between 60 to 120 hertz per second. The picture quality changes so much faster that it's much crisper, brighter, cleaner, and you don't see the shifts between frames. Well, what we know in consciousness is when you are going through reality in the lower energies, people who are working on their awakening may have seen changes in the reality where they saw maybe a warp in and out of reality, maybe a fuzz when the picture quality changed in their certain reality. But now it's going so much faster that they can't notice those nuances. And so the only way that they know that they shifted to a different parallel reality is through their own personal Mandela effects. So now all of a sudden, the dog across the street who used to be a certain color is a different color. There's a new tree in your neighborhood that looks like it's been there forever, but you've lived there for 30 years and there was never a tree in that spot in your neighbor's house. Your spouse or boyfriend or girlfriend who never used to like mustard or anything all of a sudden seems to be a different parallel person because they love mustard and they always have and they think you're tripping.
Wow, that's definitely a lot to take in. And something that you said earlier, because I think people really would want to understand this. So if you have this, you know, awakening and things do look a little bit differently, what is this? Are you aware at that moment when you're having this awakening, or not necessarily during a moment, over a period of time? Because I imagine awakening is takes a very long time. How do you know? How do you come to the awareness that you're living in a holographic reality?
Well, you know you're living in a holographic reality that is responding to your frequency and your energy because of your personal Mandela effects. Your neighbor's cars are different colors or completely different cars that was there before, or your whole neighborhood changes from what you remember before. I've had clients come in for my hypnosis practice. You know, like I said, you know, 20 years ago, I started following many Buddhist monks initiative, like the Dalai Lama and many other prominent monks and nuns who went into academia in the West and around the world to start helping them with research on consciousness, mindfulness, meditation, and other metaphysics as well. And they wanted to know how much of the material, the ancient material in Buddhism, would actually match up with the modern science that we have today. And much of it does, and also it helped clarify a lot of ancient topics in our literature and in our Buddhist artwork as well, which was really nice. So that's why I come with a lot of scientific information about this stuff, because it makes it more real. It's no longer ancient texts. It's real science backing up ancient belief systems.
And I can imagine, because even I, you know, as you're talking, it sounds great. However, I imagine a lot of people have a bunch of skepticism. And so, yes, you do have that, you know, background, the scientific knowledge to back it up. But when you say that people are kind of like become aware that their reality is holographic, but also that it's malleable, is this intentional malleability? Are we intentionally doing this, or is this a response to whatever is existing in this new set of consciousness that we have?
You don't change reality. You do not change reality at all. There are parallel realities all existing at the same time. What you do is you change your perspective on something. You work on your personal life. And by doing those betterment for yourself, you change your frequency. And that frequency will shift you to the current existing parallel reality that is of that resonance. So that's how all of a sudden things in your reality are different when they were before. I'll give you an example. When I was doing the research that is in my Buddhist mandalas book, one of the topics that I researched was energy healing. And I'm very familiar with energy healing from the Buddhist modalities like Reiki and Qigong and other things. But I was also doing energy healing research in other modalities in the West. And one of them was QHHT, quantum healing hypnosis, done by the late Dolores Cannon. She's a hypnotherapist and author, and she spent 40 years perfecting her technique, and it's a wonderful technique. And when I chose to take that technique and apply it with all this metaphysical knowledge that I know about Buddhism, and I apply it to my private hypnosis practice, and the clients that I typically get will come in trying to make sense of their awakening. They maybe have a sister who broke her leg on one leg, but she remembers vividly that the same sister broke her leg on the other leg. So why in this reality is the new leg the one that is affected? That's not the one that she remembers. She would remember someone having 5 children, and now in this reality, this person only has 3 children. And she knows the names and images of all those 5 children. So these are personal Mandela effects that people don't talk about because they don't want to be called crazy. And they don't want to fully recognize because they don't know what to do with it. They were not prepared for the ascension of Earth further into the fifth dimension. Nobody in their traditions or in the family prepared them for this. But in Buddhism, this was a concept and prophecy about the golden age of humanity into an interstellar reality. This was known for a very long time. And when we make that shift further into the fifth dimension, we kind of graduated as a society and we move further into the fifth dimension, which lasts for about 1,000 years or longer. And that's the Buddhist prophecy. And we just did not know how it was going to transpire. We didn't know what was going to happen next. But after 20 years of researching the material, I have enough data to know exactly what is happening in our reality. And so people need to talk about this stuff so it normalizes the experience. It's not so taboo.
Right. So what is, I'm sure many people are wondering, what's the difference between the consciousness of the third dimension versus the consciousness of the fifth dimension?
Right. So going back to the 2012 awakening ceremonies done by many indigenous tribes of the world, and Buddhists speculate because there were other traditions in like Europe and the West that had no clue about this. They just thought it was a weird awakening ceremony that these indigenous tribes were all doing, and it seemed like none of them are related. But Buddhists speculate that these tribes may be remnant civilizations that kept some of this knowledge from long, long time ago to our Lemurian past prior to the mega flood. So, you know, and that's that goes into another book research that I am working on as well, on Buddhist folklore about our ancient Lemurian past. But basically, when the 2012 ceremonies happened, again, we closed out the cycle of polarity and seeing separatism. And we ushered in the cycle of unity consciousness. And unity consciousness is basically an energy of oneness. So let me tell you how this applies in your life with this new energy that's come in. Okay. Mm-hmm. When the earth has her spikes and she goes up these higher hertz frequencies, what it does is it amplifies. It's kind of like a catalyst. It just amplifies everything that's going on. So what they found in scientific research, when they look at whenever the Earth had her spikes, her mini spikes, they found two phenomenons occurred in human history. They found that around that time, you had wars, major wars, and you had major renaissances. So what that means is, and it happens every single time she has a spike. And so what that means is, like I said, Earth's energy is amplifier. So it's going to amplify exactly what you are inside. So if you are negative, if you're manipulative, if you have a lot of dark night of the soul, repressed issues, it's going to amplify all that gunk from the bottom of the sea and bring it all up so that you can address it, resolve it, and move on to the good stuff. And if you don't work on it and you don't resolve it, it's going to come back up worse and worse and worse. And so you might as well work on it, because as the energies continue to increase, that's what's happening. At the same time, for the people who already worked on their dense third degree, third dimension energies, their repressed issues, their abundance blocks, there's no gunk to pull up in their life. They've already done their dark night of the soul, and they've already gone over their mom and daddy issues and all these other things that lower their frequency. So what happens is, like an amplifier, it just brings what you are up. So it brings all your abundance, all your positivity. If you're creative, it'll make you more creative. And so you have a different challenge is what I have, is how do you balance all this good stuff and narrow in and focus and amplify your focus area. And that's what's happening right now and will continue to happen as we move further and further into the fifth dimension.
So I think a big question on people's minds is, why now? Why is now the time to shift from the third dimension into the fifth dimension, given the fact that this consciousness, the separation, we've had many wars, many disasters, we have like the legacy of slavery. There's so much dark historical episodes where this consciousness of unity would have been very, you know, useful, helpful back then. Why is it now? Or why do you think it maybe is now?
Well, first of all, Earth has her own timeline, and humanity's timeline has always been repressed and, you know, seeing separatism and all that. It's our ego. Human ego, which allows people to have their personal identity and experiences and have this personal experience as an incarnation, so they can grow spiritually and enjoy the infinite game that we're all playing in. Like I said, we're souls having a human experience. We have that ego, and that ego has a way of growing havoc in our lives if we don't know how to live peacefully with the ego. So humanity really has an ego problem, and that is most of the causes of a lot of the negativity that we create to ourselves and to each other. However, according to the indigenous beliefs, everything works in cycles, okay? Mm-hmm. And unity consciousness has happened before, and it closed out, and it ushered in the cycle of separation. But that cycle has ended, and we moved into a cycle of unity consciousness because the Earth is moving into the fifth dimension. So we're working on the Earth time frame, okay? So for why people have all these negative things happening in their lives, they could change their reality and change their lives, their personal lives, before the ascension process happened. But it's been happening not just in 2020. It's been happening since the late 90s. It's just amplifying, and it's happening more because she's taking these big jumps.
I see. So another question, like after, you know, listening to what you're saying, I kind of wonder this. I know we live here in the third dimension, and yes, we're shifting into more of a fifth dimensional consciousness, but like you said, for some people during the shift, it'll bring up a lot of negativity, you know, sometimes for healing, or I guess if you're more of a person who lives in the light and is more positive, maybe that is also amplified. But I wonder if during this time you go back and forth between fifth dimensional consciousness of unity, but also this third dimensional consciousness of separation, given a lot of the events that are happening today. Would you say yes, or?
So, you know, I have plenty of clients, and I have myself in my personal life. Right now, there is a lot of timelines that are collapsing, and there are a lot of timelines that are like parallel realities that are merging. And you've had this experience, and many of you have had this experience and shaken it off. I know for myself, there's been a time when I went to the grocery store and I go and get peanut butter, and I always get Jiffy, but now it's Jif. And there was a time when there was the version of peanut butter that's Jif and Jiffy and sitting on the grocery store shelves. That's an example of two timelines merging and existing at the same time. And then later on, I would go back to the store and there will only be Jif. Jiffy never existed, and they don't know what I'm talking about. And so that's how I know that obviously that timeline has split. The thing is that right now, because the energies aren't completely split yet, it's going to get to the point that it gets so high that the reality is split, and then you can't jump between one to another because your frequency is not high enough to match that other reality. And the people in the other realities, their frequency, fifth dimensional frequency, is so high that they can't lower themselves to go back to the third dimension. But right now, there are a lot of people who are still deciding which energy they want to emit. They're still making decisions on their character. And the decisions they make on the character in their lives, that has an effect on what energy they emit out.
This is very interesting.
Have you had Mandela effects in your personal life?
I'm sorry?
Have you had any Mandela effects in your personal life?
I would honestly say no, I haven't. I think I don't know if anybody else would agree with me, you know, when you are, and this probably sounds very victimhoodish, but I'm just going to put it out there. You know, when you are raised in a particular type of family, and this is, you know, across the board, you are indoctrinated into a very specific way of thinking. And thus that I believe it kind of becomes your reality repetitively until something happens to kind of switch gears. So I would say that there's consistency in my life. But I can't say definitively that I've explored like another reality at all.
Let me ask you some questions. When you were a child, was the children's book Berenstain or Berenstain Bears?
I actually never read that book when I was a child.
Now, when you were a child, also, there was the comedian Sinbad, and he made a movie where he was a genie and helped this boy with his struggles. Did you watch Shazam?
I know what the movie is, but I never sat down and watched it.
Never sat down and watched it, because there's plenty of people like myself who can tell you the whole storyline of Shazam. That movie never existed. You cannot find it anywhere in our reality right now. And the comedian Sinbad says in many interviews, "I never did that movie. I don't know what you guys are talking about." But there's a lot of people who swears he did it. They can recall the image, what he wore, what was the storyline, and so forth. And I myself are one of them.
Oh, that's very interesting, because I also too remember it being a movie.
Well, you just had a Mandela effect.
Well, that's very weird, but that's also very cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
How is it, Deanna, that you have memory, whether you watch it a lot or not, of a movie that does not exist in this reality?
That's interesting to me. I'll have to definitely go do some thinking about that.
You shifted from your consciousness, shifted from the parallel Deanna in that reality. You made a change in your energy somehow. So some kind of perspective or working on something in your life. And now it's shifted to this version of yourself in this reality where Shazam does not exist.
Wow. I guess I've never really sat back to think about anything like that, or even, I don't know, personally, I've never really studied like parallel realities, but that is something I would love to look for.
Yeah. As you become more awakened, you become more aware of your reality. Let me give you another one.
Okay.
Publishers Clearing House. Do you remember Publishers Clearing House, where Ed McMahon would deliver the winnings through the prize van?
Yes, 100%.
How do you remember that?
How do I remember it?
Yeah. What's your story behind it?
I remember watching all of the commercials on TV where Ed McMahon would go knock up on the doors of people, and he would surprise them with this really big physical check, and they would have balloons, et cetera, for the money that they won. So that's my memory of it.
That never exists.
There's no evidence today to.
For a while, Publishers Clearing House said that we never hired Ed McMahon. He's never done that. I don't know what people were doing. And then now all of a sudden, Ed McMahon published a rap song about wanting to collect money from all of his prize winnings that he had given away because he wants residual. And so you have two realities. You have Publishers Clearing House saying he never worked for us, and you have him, Ed McMahon, doing a rap video saying, "I want my money. I did that." That's another example of two realities merging and existing at the same time, but they haven't quite split off yet.
That's so interesting. Wow. Huh.
Think about it. Now start looking at your world and you'll see those nuances. And as you see more of those nuances, you can move forward a little further into your awakening.
I will definitely put that on my to-do list after this call.
Let me ask you one last one about your personal Mandela effects, because the logos of those changing in the current pop culture are always fun. That's the fun part about this. Do you remember Jane Goodall?
Yes.
The conservationist who worked with monkeys?
Yes.
Do you remember that she died a couple of years ago?
Vaguely, I can't say 100% that I have that knowledge.
But do you have any recall of her funeral and her dying? Because many people do.
Yes, I remember seeing a message that she passed away. That I remember.
For sure? Are you sure about that?
Yes, I'm very sure. I remember seeing it like on Twitter.
Yeah. So you're very sure in your personal reality that you saw something, that she passed away, and you're not a crazy person, Deanna.
I'd like to think that I'm somewhat sane, yes.
So you are sane, you're not crazy. Well, Jane Goodall is alive right now, and she's doing fundraisers.
Interesting.
Parallel people, parallel realities. So we need to stop questioning the awakening process.
So, okay. I wrote this down because this is a question that, again, I tried to think of what everybody else is thinking when they come across this information. And this comes from a very specific belief. So many people have the belief in this metaphysical community, and that's all I can speak to, that we come to the earth and embody a physical embodiment. And the purpose is to learn and grow and experience, et cetera. But if we can, if most of us learn through hardship and sometimes pain, if we have to learn and grow through that, what happens when we switch from this consciousness of separation to this consciousness of unity? What is there to learn? How do you continue to grow as a spirit if there are no more problems to or hardships to go through? If that makes sense.
That does make sense now. And I'll give you the Buddha's answer and then also the answer from my clients through my hypnosis, QHHT hypnosis practice.
Okay.
The Buddha's answer is typically many people come into this reality, because we have the belief in reincarnation and that everyone's soul has already been infinite before this lifetime and will be continue to be infinite after this lifetime. And we have all had previous lives prior to our earth incarnation, we just don't remember them. All our lives may be different lives that we have here on earth at different timelines, at different parallel realities, at different planets, at different universes, in the spirit world. We've had many lives in the cosmos. So when we incarnate into being a human being, earth is Buddhists believe that Earth is kind of a resetting planet, where it's kind of a learning planet, where you come in with amnesia. You don't remember your previous life so that you can work on this life the best that you can. And Earth provides the opportunity to address old karma, address dense energy, or work on certain topics that you wanted to work on to help, you know, raise your energy and raise up your spiritual development. So Earth is a very unique and special planet because of that ability to come in with amnesia. So somebody who's a very old soul will come in with the same footing, and somebody who's a very new soul will come in with the same footing. So it is a very unique opportunity. But what happens is people come in, and because we are physical, we forget that we're souls having a human experience. And we forget that in order to have that human experience, we have to have that ego, to have our individual identity. Otherwise, it will all be the same. And what happens is we get caught up in our 3D dramas. And like when you're caught up into a game that it kind of spirals out of control, sometimes it's really, you get so caught up in the story that you don't know how to get out. But you know, there's help along the way, and you have to be wise enough or aware enough to ask for help along the way. Like, the pain isn't too much. I can't do this anymore. I need help. And then that help will be available to you, and you have to do your footwork. Now, if you have addressed your abundance blocks and your dense energy, then there's a lot of wonderful experiences that you can create. You may have 60 or 70 or 80 years left in your life, and you don't have to continue to cause suffering in your life and suffering in other people's lives. You already learned those lessons. You don't want those experiences. So for the next time that you have, you can spend your life working with the higher energies and create abundance in your life. You can work on projects that you're interested in and take it all the way. There's a lot of things that you could do with yourself besides create suffering for yourself and people that you know. Now, the other answer for that also comes from my QHHT clients. And I typically get clients that reach out to me because I don't advertise, but they find me somehow. Their angels had sent me over the client somehow. I've had lots of interesting stories of how their angels or the spirit guides, because many of them are awakening or they're working on it, have sent them over to me. And I'll give you a couple cases. I had, and this is very common for a lot of my hypnosis clients, I had a lady who reached out to me. She wanted to do something like this, and she didn't know what it was that she needed, but she went on Google and she just started searching some terms. And what popped up was my website. She was looking at kind of awakening, ascension, fifth dimension. She was just putting words in the search. And my website, MerkabaChakras.com, popped up. She found me that way. She booked a session for a hypnosis session. And she had a lot of questions about her 3D dramas, trying to get clarity on what she should do of her life and her business. And what ended up coming out, because in QHHT, I talked to the oversoul, the universe of one mind, that flow of energy, the Lord consciousness that resides in everybody. Everybody has the same consciousness that resides inside them. And when I talk to a client, I pick up from the same conversation I had from another client, from another client, from another client. It's the same person. It's the same field of energy, the same conversation. But that being inside my client will typically answer all the questions that the client has and also offer suggestions. And so what came out of the session with this one client example is that it gave her some answers to her soul group that she has right now. So it gave her clarity on the purpose of why she chose what she chose, and it gave her assurance that she's doing a wonderful job working through those issues, and it gave her suggestions on how to work through other issues that she's working on. But with her, what was interesting is she is a starseed, which means that she has had lifetimes in other universes as quote-unquote other aliens before she incarnated here on Earth. This is the first time on Earth. So she's very, very, it's like she's on a travel visa to Earth. So a lot of the 3D issues that people have and do to each other are very foreign to her. So she has a hard time and struggles with connecting with people who act very 3D and very mean to one another. But one of her things is, because she's already gone through her awakening and she's going further into her ascension and raising her energy, she wanted to know how she, you know, what can she do for the next 20, 30, 40 years? And you know, how can she take it to the next level? And the oversoul and her spirit guide suggested that her and her husband right now just bought a piece of property, and they were guided to that property because that property has a crystal cavern about 100 feet below the property, and it sends out an energy, a very healing energy. And also she has what you would call fairy rings all around this 5-acre property, where it's basically, fairy rings are kind of like these round circles in nature that seem to be naturally created, but they're blue. In her property, they're blue mushrooms that just grew in this perfect circle formation on her property, or white wildflowers that grew in perfect circle formations around her property, and they're all over this property. And so it's a very magical and high energy healing space. And her husband were trying to figure out a way to be caretakers of this land that they live in, but also still make money. So the oversoul and her guide suggested that what she is here to do as a starseed incarnate here on planet Earth at this time during the ascension is to be a caretaker for Earth. And they will continue to give her one project after another, beautiful land that needs to be cared for because of all these different elements that make it special. And the way in which she can take care of it and still care for her family and provide a good livelihood is to create a meditation retreat, a kind of a bed and breakfast retreat, an art retreat, and offer all these different workshops, yoga, and other things for the public. And people, when they see that, they can come in and they can have a couple's retreat and stay in a sacred geometry dome. And as they're there, they can also do these other excursions like yoga, meditation, silent meditation, art, whatever workshops that she offers to the public. It will help them heal and it will help them connect with this magical land that they bought. And after they make this successful, they will be given at discounted prices more magical lands in Montana, in Wyoming, in other parts of the country. And they will continue to be good caregivers or caretakers of the earth. And that is their mission to come here at this time. That is their purpose. So for the next, 50 or so years of this couple's life, they're going to be making these meditation retreats in special land.
So I was going to ask you this earlier, and I'm glad you brought this up, the whole idea or belief in what are called star seeds. Can you please speak to everyone about what a star seed is, what their purpose is, and also how do you know if you are one?
So we're going to get a little bit sci-fi, and a little sci-fi aspect of
Buddhism. I like sci-fi.
I love sci-fi too. Okay, so a lot of people think Buddhism is all just meditation and, a couple things here and there, because a lot of Buddhism is a spiritual practice. It's actually quite boring, but it's just about living the best version of you in different ways. And again, you did that awakening, you have that ascension, you work on your leveling up your energy. And as you level up your energy, you will start getting higher spiritual energy and you will start coming in and amplifying your six senses. Okay. Mm-hmm. Everybody has, it's like everybody's being, some people are born to jump higher than others. Some people are born and they have the ability to jump to run faster than others. Okay. Everybody has different gifts that they bring from the other side. But in this work with your awakening and ascension, as you get further into it, your six senses that you brought from the other side will come in more and they will amplify in these higher energies. So be aware of that, people, that when you start doing your awakening and ascension work, you're not going crazy when you start channeling or when you start having teleportation or when you accidentally move a pen across the table and your telekinesis abilities come through. These are a very advanced souls who brought very unique gifts with them on the other side. And as they get into this work, that stuff will amplify. And a lot of Buddhist monks and nuns spend all their days trying to hone in on these extra abilities and amplify them. But for me, that's distraction. But anyways, the reason why I bring up your six senses is because we have the belief, a very ancient belief, in what we call the Toku children. And it's just one ancient word for a grouping of very, very advanced old souls that either came from the spirit world or they came from different higher dimensions or different parts of the universe or universes. Okay, so this is not their first go around on playing the infinite game in the physical. But because of that, they are at a certain energy level already, and then they come into the experience with that amnesia, and they have to find a way to get to the awakening ascension to reactivate those gifts that they brought with them on the other side so that they can share it with people here and help them out in their process. Now, the thing is, the word star seeds and indigo children and crystal children, and these terms are very popular pop culture. Dolores Cannon popularized star seeds and indigos. And basically, again, they are people who have had incarnations in other star systems, and they are now coming in at this time to help Earth with her ascension further into the fifth dimension. And because Earth is very kind and loving to the beings that live on her, they are helping the people raise their energy. So star seeds, as they get further into their awakening and ascension, will start remembering their star seed origins.
What about those who are not star seeds that are here? I mean, this shift from this consciousness of separation to unity, I mean, they
everyone, I imagine, regardless of your spiritual, where you've been, I would say, amongst the multiverse, comes here, yes, to learn and grow. But if you, even if you're not a starseed, I imagine that you too have a role to play in this shift from separation to unity.
Yeah, like I said earlier, and Buddhists, you know, there's this wonderful Buddhist statue in Thailand where it's a gold Buddha and it's laying down and it's being restful. And you know, many people look at that and go, how can Buddha be so serene when there's so much chaos and so many bad and mean people going on in the world? And the reason why is they know that everybody is getting exactly what they need for their spiritual development. And when you go into hypnosis, like, you know, when my clients come in for their QHHT hypnosis sessions, they end up finding out that the struggles and the hardship that they had in their life had a purpose, and it helped them get to where they are now. So we can't judge, you know, people's lives and the negativity that's going on in their life, because it may be a part of their life here that they needed to experience in order to pick themselves up and get to the other side healthy and happy.
Right. So another thing I wanted to kind of just quickly say here is, you know, in a very personal level, I've heard from my guides or the spirits upstairs, if you will, that indeed there is a planetary shift. And I keep hearing this, and I there is always going to be within me a set of skepticism. But here's my question. Aren't we always constantly shifting and evolving anyway? Isn't that kind of the point? Like, there's no end point, even when the Earth does move into, or at least when consciousness does shift into this unity consciousness. Isn't there something more to evolve into even after that?
Yes. Now you're getting into soul speak.
Okay. Tell me what that is.
Yeah. Okay. So in Buddhism, you know, because, first of all, the infinite game, this holographic reality that souls incarnate into the physical to experience, we're all playing these games, okay? And there's lots of different games in the game board, all right? You don't have to play every single game that's on the game board. If you really resonate with a certain game or a certain thing that's going on and you're really attracted to it, then maybe it was part of your pre-life plan before you came in here to be a part of that, to help with that game somehow, turn it, you know, resolve it, make it positive, help build on it, whatever the deal is. So that's the one thing I want to caveat, because people get so caught up in all these 3D dramas that's going on. And like I said, they're different games being played, but they are working on resolving that as part of their journey. Okay, you can just work on your own personal life, better yourself and be the best version of you. And eventually they will resolve their 3D issues and they'll make it there too. If not, you know, they may make go to a different parallel version, but many of them will eventually. And in the meantime, you can just accelerate your experience further in with Earth peacefully, so you don't have to always, you know, jump into all these messy games everybody else is playing. I just want to, because a lot of people get caught up in what's going on. But the other thing is, because you asked this question before, you know, as well, and you're asking the same question again, which is, when does it stop? When do you stop having these experiences? How can we get better? The thing is that you have the physical experience so that you can learn and grow spiritually, so that you can also enjoy the incarnations. Not every incarnation is going to be bad, and not every single soul that incarnates on Earth came to learn pain and suffering and evolve that way. There are plenty of souls that come here just to enjoy what Earth has to offer and eat all the great food and meet all the great people and contribute a little positive thing in their life. There's a lot of people that come in for positive experiences that Earth offers as well. Earth is not this horrible slave planet that souls incarnate into. But if they want to, they can work on the ascension and they can awaken and then go, they can go to Buddhahood, which is when you get to a point in your consciousness. And there's actually great research done by Dr. David R. Hawkins of the Map of Consciousness. He was a top mental health doctor in New York during his medical years. And then he spent much of his life mapping out the level of energy that people have. And if you go through his books, it's phenomenal research on studying consciousness and measuring different people's energy fields. And he even found in his research that babies have different energy. Some babies come in already at a high frequency. Other babies come in at a low frequency. So he was able to substantiate all these indigenous beliefs as well through his research. And what he found is that the highest energy that a human body can emit is 1,000, which is Buddhahood. And what Buddhahood is you get to a point in whether you get to it in this lifetime or many lifetimes, but you eventually get to a point through your awakening and ascension process, through working with synchronicity, with the angels and your master teachers. Maybe you even use different modalities like energy healing or chanting or any kind of extra sensory gifts. All of these are just processes to help you get to the final doorway, to realize that you are a master being that can master your own reality, and that at some point when you're done playing with your addiction to creation, this wonderful game itself, you will go deaf and you will let go of Deanna and all that she ever did and what she looks like, everything in her life and all the people. And you will realize this, that you're done playing this game, and you will get reabsorbed with the energy of the Lord.
Very interesting stuff. And I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to ask this question, because I may disagree with you on one thing here. And so I do, I'm of the same belief that, yes, we are shifting into this fifth dimension where it's supposed to be a focus on unity and brotherhood and however else you want to describe it. But I will say this. I always feel like chaos always precedes peace and stability in some way. And I feel like what's happening today with, injustice and COVID and everything else, has a very important role to play in the shift from separation to unity, because it's usually, in my personal opinion, large scale issues that affect people en masse where change is made if people come to the realization that they need to participate. So I do feel like everybody, I don't know, what's happening today is very relevant. It's very important to make a shift. I have heard many people in this metaphysical community pretty much say very blatantly outright that you don't really need to participate in what's going on in the world. So for example, giving light to injustice or participating in protests or saying anything about COVID, just hold space for the fifth dimension because you're already there. And I think that that is very disheartening on a personal level to hear, because I feel like we all have a part to play. But I also feel like it's incumbent upon every single person to awaken to what is right now and what needs to change to shift from separation to unity. And I just kind of wanted to get your thoughts about that.
Yeah. So, again, you're really attracted to a certain movement. And if you're attracted to that movement, and it's very strong in you, that it's part of your life plan to be part of that. If something is not really attracted to you and it doesn't really, you're not really compelled to go and be active in that movement or in that change and so forth, then it's probably not for you. And that's nothing against you. Just don't create suffering for yourself.
Gotcha.
Okay. I'll give you a piece of information. It's scientific to answer that question.
Okay.
When
you're cutting out of the, I'm not able to hear you speak right now.
Yeah.
I can hear you a little bit, but it is going in and out.
What's going on?
Yes, for some reason, I'm not able to hear you, Vaughn. Oh, no. Well,
my internet is very strong.
I can hear you now.
Okay, good. Yay. I have a tendency to short out equipment. My husband changes the halogen lights every 6 months in our house. and I've had interviews with many different technology systems, and it has happened sometimes. I even have 3 internet boosters in my house just to boost the signal.
This is
very normal. And wherever I go, it happens at the public library. It happens in my house. It happens at a friend's house. To answer your question, okay, so Buddha's Brain is a book by Dr. Rick Hansen, and he summarized a lot of the research on meditation in Buddha's Brain. In meditation research,
Oh no, Vaughn, you've gone out again for some reason. I'm not sure what happened with the connectivity, but I definitely can't hear you at this moment. And I hate to cut you off, but I do think we have a bit of a connectivity problem.
I already changed my other booster.
I can hear you now, but it is going in and out.
Okay.
So,
let's just work through it, okay? I'll work through it. And because people can make sense of some of the words that I'm missing and piece it together.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. So really quick, the Maharishi research project in the 60s, and they've repeated this meditation research ever since then, and this is summarized in the book Buddha's Brain by Dr. Rick Hansen. And what they found in meditation research is when they hook up Buddhist monks and nuns and Christian monks and nuns and these practitioners from these different faiths, many of them were Buddhists that did it, they hooked up their brains to EEG scans to see what happens in the brain when you're in meditation. And they also did it with regular people as well. And what they found after thousands and thousands of the same study in the same method, they found that many monks and nuns were emitting a gamma wave frequency, which is like 60 to 120 or more hertz. You know, I remember when I was talking earlier with the Schumann resonance of going into these higher hertz frequencies and the picture changing much faster?
Yes.
It works very similar, the very similar analogy to the brains of people who radiate at gamma frequency in their brain scans when they're in meditation. And what that means is the picture quality is much crisper and cleaner. Their consciousness is much crisper and cleaner. And what they found also is when they did the meditation with, you know, hundreds and thousands of people in a specific area doing meditation just for the wellness of everyone, many of these people got into alpha or gamma wave frequency. And at the time that they do these research in cities where there's a lot of violence, there is a decrease in violence. There's a decrease in crime during this time. And they've done this thousands and thousands of times, and over again, it's the same thing. So what they found is that mathematically, 1% of people who radiate these high energies out of their body affect 99% of the population in that area. So it only takes 1% of humanity to work on their ascension and awakening and get into those higher gamma wave frequencies with the earth to affect 99%. And those 99% who are not working on it are being affected. And the way in which they're being affected is they're working out their 3D issues. It's hard to watch people struggle to resolve issues that are very dense. But maybe this is the way in which they work it through. It was hard to watch the civil rights movement when it was happening as well.
Yes, definitely. I guess, you know, and this is
my own personal interpretation. I mean, I have read literature on, you know, the effects of meditation, but I guess in a personal way, and maybe like you said, everybody's drawn to something for a reason, but I do think, you know, there is a sense of responsibility to everybody on the planet because we are interconnected. And not only is it hard to watch struggle, it's hard to be a bystander and not take action. And I imagine that most people feel that way deep inside.
Well, what is your definition of taking action? Because there's a lot of people that take actions in different ways.
Yes, they do. By speaking up, by lending a hand, by supporting people, and by lifting up not just consciousness on a meditative level, but actually doing something to fix the problem, being a part of the solution. And I feel like it's a shared responsibility for the world. I don't know. That's just my personal belief spiritually.
I do agree with you that people have taken responsibility for different things. If they really resonate with something, they're going to work on it. And everybody's working on their piece. And all the pieces come together and they complete an environment. However, not contributing to the problem is also helping.
That is also very correct. I guess, like you said, it's very case specific.
Yeah. I would say with this, because I've had plenty of clients that come into the hypnosis and they wonder the same question. Why the struggle? Why the human struggle? Why not everybody go into this cause and that cause and this cause and that cause and fix this problem and fix that problem? Why don't, and they even have these questions in their personal life. Why don't you step into this person's marriage and fix their marriage issues? Why don't you step into this person's parenting problems in your family and fix their parenting problems? And what comes back in hypnosis in that case is, if you allow these people, give them the support where you can, but let them have their journey, because that's how they're going to learn.
Right. And that's very true. I guess, you know, like I said, personally, while we all have our own independent curriculum, which I completely agree with, I also am of the mind that part of being here is the realization that, again, you know, what I do affects another person. And I just feel like unity consciousness involves an awareness that, yes, your actions have a ripple effect, and sitting by and not helping be a part of the solution, it has a detrimental ripple effect as well. But like you said, and this is things that I've told other people too, I do think we're all drawn to different facets of what's happening in the world. And I think that those are our personal assignments to contribute, to help, and to learn at the same time. But Vaughn.
I'm feeling something. I'm feeling there's a specific movement that you're talking about. What is the specific movement?
It's not a specific movement. There's just injustice everywhere. Okay. So I'm speaking like in a very general sense.
Okay.
Like,
so you're disheartened with the lower dense reality that people have. Why would people have these horrible experiences? Why would they treat each other like this? Why does it seem like nothing's being done? Is that what it is?
I would hope that everybody feels that way.
And you know what? People do feel that way, and there are people who are fixing it. But it might not be in your time frame.
Right. No, I completely understand that. But I also know, you know, like I said, in my personal belief system is that if not now, then when? And so I do think that
it is now, and it is happening.
Well, I think perception is key. You know, and I think that's why it's so important to realize that, yes, we have our own assignments. But yes, that based off our own experiences and based off of our experiences in a particular body and in a particular economic status, educational status, et cetera, then, I guess we just see things a little bit differently in that way.
Let me ask you this. When you look in the mirror, how do you change the reflection in a mirror?
Well, you don't.
The only way you're going to see yourself smiling, you have to smile first. It, it, right. is the reality reflecting back to you what you are. So again, you don't change reality, you change yourself. And when you change yourself, reality changes.
Right. And I subscribe to that belief partially on a personal level here. Like, I'm not, you know, attacking your beliefs. I'm just, I think it's really important because I think people have your beliefs. They have my beliefs. They have other beliefs. And I think that that is true. But at the same time, I think, again, it's very important for people to stick up and fight for justice in all ways, because who wants to live in a place where there's injustice? And it affects everybody, even though people think they're not affected, because that is also an energy that pervades every facet of life, in my personal perspective. But
I think there's a lot of people that is doing stuff to support, you know, fixing things as well. So, you know, I give a lot of credit to humanity for coming a long way from where they were. And it is continuing to evolve, and it will continue to clean up and get positive and better. And we're going to get to the good stuff, because where we are now today is not where we were during the civil rights, is not where we were during slavery, is not where we were before. We are progressing, and I give humanity a lot of credit.
Well, with that said, Vaughn, I really enjoyed talking with you today. I love to hear everybody's, you know, perspectives and their experiences. And I wanted to remind people that you guys can find Vaughn's books on Amazon. She's the author of Buddhist Mandalas, Explore Parallel Realities with Sacred Geometry, and Buddhist Guide to Manifest Parallel Realities Using the Four Noble Truths and Eightfold Path in the Age of Consciousness. And I wanted to ask you how people can find you and if you had any promotions.
Yes. So everybody can find everything on my website, MerkabaChakras.com. That's MERKABA, chakras, like your seven chakras.com. And you from there, you can go to my author's page and find the book, Buddhist Mandalas, Explore Parallel Realities with Sacred Geometry. And from today until July 1st, 2020, I am doing the 5-day, it's been going on for a couple of days, but I'm doing the free ebook giveaway, with Amazon. And when you study sacred geometry, that will help you rewire your consciousness up to a higher dimension. Now, I will say this as well. I always try to leave, my interviews with the same message really quick, that I get from the oversoul in my QHHT hypnosis clients. And it's the same message every time. So I put it into these couple words, okay? And the message is that you've always been enough. Use the gifts and the resources all around you to create a life that you want to experience, a life full of joy and love. And the spirit world will nudge you through synchronicity. You can do it.
Thank you so much, Vaughn. I actually really did enjoy having you on. And everybody, again, you can find Vaughn at MerkabaChakras.com. Vaughn, thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.